Good morning, and thank you for having me here today, and thank you all for being here. As we can see, the title of my talk is Volatile Organic Metabolites as Indicators of Soil Microbial Community and Composition. And this is a preliminary study. As we all know, soils are complex systems and recently have been termed by Science Magazine as the final frontier in scientific exploration. And part of the complexity of the system is the microbial ecosystems and interactions that occur in soils. And microorganisms are important to soils, as we all know, because of the biochemical processes that they are a part of and control, and also they're very important to the soil quality and health. And so therefore, scientists are interested in being able to track, as we saw in the previous presentation, how these ecosystems are responding to perturbations and other type of changes in the ecosystem. And so there are several commonly used indicator methods, a whole assortment of them, including functional characterization methods, taxonomic community and diversity methods, carbon and nutrient pathway methods, and microbial activity methods, as we're all well aware of these. They all provide good information about the soil microbial ecosystems, but some provide different information than others. Activity methods such as gaseous CO2 and methane may provide us more information about the temporal dynamics of the microbial ecosystems, and other methods such as enzymatic and genetic studies may provide more information about the function of the microorganisms in the soil. And VOCs probably fall somewhere in the middle of this continuum, as they're an activity method because they are metabolites of microbial respiration processes. But they also provide information about the communities in the soils themselves, because and previous literature has shown that certain communities are known or have been shown to produce certain VOCs. Additionally, because they're an intermediate metabolite, there's various functional groups that are associated with these compounds, and therefore they may be able to be or can be tracked back to the original carbon source. And so VOCs are not sample destructive, and therefore they allow for temporal studies to be possible without agitating the system. They're fairly, they don't require any difficult extraction procedures to collect them, and therefore you can minimize some of your time, sample prep time, and also expense, as long as you have the appropriate equipment to analyze them. And so the objectives of this preliminary research were to establish a methodology to measure VOC production at this point in soil microcosms, to determine if VOCs could indeed be used as indicators of microbial composition shift and activity, and then to measure soil VOC over time, production over time, and also location in collected soils through the microcosm studies. And when I talk about collected soils, I'm talking about soils that were indeed collected from the Laguna Atascosa National Wildlife Refuge in southern Texas. We chose three locations at this site to collect our soils from for our microcosm experiments because they represented various landscapes and also had various soil parameters. Site 11 was located near the freshwater Laguna Atascosa Lake and with a seasonal wetland. Site 3 was a grassland area located near the dried up resacas or meandering rivers. Site 8 was a coastal upland area located near the hypersaline Laguna Madre estuary. And for those of you who may have been to South Padre Island ever before, this location is very close. and there's about a 7-mile tract from between sites 8 and 11. And so, as I said, we collected soils from these locations in triplicate from each site. We also measured in-situ soil moisture and conductivity. We measured the various soil parameters back in the lab, and then we conducted some microcosm experiments where we manipulated substrate, percent water content, and soil type. Our microcosms were 100 milliliter glass jars with 50 grams of soil inserted into them, and then the various perturbations were made. It was connected to, our microcosms were connected to a Oxymax respiration system, which allowed us to measure CO2 through infrared detection, and then we connected in line this VOC tube that you see that had 10X packing within it, and that as the headspaces were flushed for CO2 measurements, the gases went through this VOC tube. VOCs were then collected and then later desorbed on a thermodesorber GCMS setup shown below. We were also measured microbial community via the FAME and carbon substrate utilization profiles in order to validate the VOC technique with the soils at the end of the two-week microcosm experiment. In addition to the perturbation studies, we conducted another study, microcosm study, with soils that we did not perturb, that we collected in the field, and we preserved at minus 80 C, and then we were able to measure VOCs and CO2 over time. The VOC tube we took on and took off every 3 days. And then the CO2 we can measure with time with infrared. And again, at the end of that experiment, we analyzed the FAME and the carbon substrate utilization profiles. And so here are some of our results. Basically, we have quite a number of example chromatograms such as this, where you can see we detected and quantified a large number of VOC compounds along with a variety of functional groups. The VOCs that we collected or detected, over 35% of them could be cross-referenced to previous literature values on cultured microorganisms or groups of organisms that had been shown to produce some of the various functional groups and specific compounds that we had indeed measured in our study as well, including those from bacteria and fungi. In the FAME analysis, we detected the presence of bacteria and fungi through an assortment of the compounds shown below. And in addition to that, the carbon substrate utilization profiles showed the presence or indicated the presence of gram-negative bacteria. And so here are some of our statistical analysis, starting with first with the factor analysis. And basically, factor analysis, similar data is going to group together, and dissimilar data is going to group farther apart. And I'm showing you the example of water content perturbation only for the interest of time, but basically we had three levels of treatment levels, a 5% addition, 25% addition, and 50% addition. And what we can see is here are the FAME results in the top right corner. I'm going to go through them. The FAME was able to show differences between each of the three treatment levels where the dots within the circles are the replicate samples. The VOCs and biologs show differences between two of the three perturbations or treatment levels, and then the CO2 method did not show any significant grouping differences between the water treatments. Cluster analysis is just another statistical method to look at similarities and dissimilarities between groups of data. And we see the very similar to the exact same results where FAME was our most sensitive technique, showing three distinct groups, followed by the VOCs and biolog, which show two distinct groups. And then the CO2, again, we don't see any real differences between the three treatments. And so, if we wanted to know, we asked the question, well, are these differences significant? So in order to answer that, we ran an ANOVA analysis. With the water content treatments at the very bottom, you can see that there were significant differences between various treatment levels. And we did the same thing with the soil type and substrate perturbations. And we see, again, that we had significant differences between our VOC results. And another question, if you remember, we were interested in whether VOCs could actually be predictors or indicators of microbial community composition shift. And so we ran a multiple regression analysis. And this basically, we used FAME as our independent variable because through our studies, FAME was the most sensitive technique to community composition shift and has been a proven technique. And so we saw that both the VOCs and the biologs were significant predictors or indicators of microbial community composition shift as measured via the FAME, whereas the CO2 was not, and that's to be expected because CO2 is an activity measure, as I stated earlier. So this is showing us some of the results that we expected and hope to see. And if we look at the temporal data, starting first with the top left graph, we can see that VOCs over time did increase over the 15-day microcosm experiment. And if we look at the graph directly below it, we look at an example from site 11 where some of the functional groups increased more significantly than others. Here, the alcohol and aldehyde groups were in the greatest concentrations and seemed to increase most rapidly through the duration of the experiment. And if we compare that to the total CO2 production, we see that CO2 is also increasing in the system. The shape of the graphs aren't necessarily the same, and that's really an area of future research to see what is the shape of a VOC production curve. That was outside of the constraints of this particular study, but definitely something of interest. And now looking at the soil locations that we sampled and looked at in the microcosm studies and overlaying this on a spatial graph, we see at site 11, the soils that we collected had the greatest concentration of VOCs. And not having time to show you all of the graphs, but basically the aldehydes, alcohols, aromatics, and ketones were producing the greatest amount at this site, and that seemed to follow the soil moisture trends with the site was the most wet because it was the wetland site. Site 3 had the greatest concentration of hydrocarbons and esters, and it seemed to follow the reactive iron trends, and also the biolog and FAME data seemed to show the greatest concentration or amount of microorganisms present here, so indicating to us that the microorganisms in this community was possibly using reduced iron as an energy source. And then the nitriles and terpenes were producing the greatest amounts at site 8, and that followed the total organic carbon trends that we measured. And we recognize that much more research needs to occur. This was a preliminary study of looking at in situ production of VOCs and actual field production of VOCs. But for the purposes of this study, we saw that VOCs were sensitive to some of the same abiotic and biotic parameters that dictate microbial community ecosystems and ecologies. And whether we wanted to find out, well, were these differences in time and location significant? So again, we ran another ANOVA analysis, and for 28 of the 72 VOCs we detected, or approximately 40%, they were significantly different over time or with location. And at the Laguna Escoso National Wildlife Refuge, time seemed to be the more important parameter with those soils that we collected. And this is probably because this was just a 7-mile radius. And so future studies, and one that we're actually starting on, is to collect soils from other locations such as Mississippi and other places and compare on a much larger landscape scale how do VOC production vary with various soil parameters, parent material, and climate regimes, and so forth. And so in conclusion, VOCs were significant predictors of microbial community composition shifts. As shown in the regression analysis, they generally aligned with the biolog and FAME data. They increased over time, and they varied with landscape position. They seemed to be sensitive to the abiotic and biotic parameters that were measured in this experiment. And overall, the take-home message is that we've shown that VOCs are distinct indicators of microbial community composition and activity, and they seem to provide quality information about the temporal and spatial dynamics of soil microbial ecosystems, and we hope to advance this to be something that other soil scientists and biogeochemists can utilize in the future. So with that being said, acknowledge those who have helped, and I don't know if we have time for questions, but maybe afterward. One question. Okay. Yes, sir.
How plastic are different species of microbes and which particular VOCs they produce?
The question was, is how specific are the VOCs to certain species? Is that the question?
Basically,
Sure, I understand the question. And I didn't do a species identification. And there has been other research, Gerber, 1977, Sunesson et al. In 95, where they did culture-specific microorganisms, and they found a variety. I mean, it's not just one that's usually produced. It's like 10 to 15 that are produced. And so that is a difficult question. But the question is, do you want to know the species, or do you want to know the overall response to perturbations and conditions in the environment? And so it's, you know, do you want to know function or do you want to know species? But we can at least know that certain groups maybe more apt to produce certain VOCs because of these abiotic parameters where they can exist.